Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service has released California state and county profiles. Information in the profiles include farms and farmland, values of sales, producer demographics, top crops, internet access, and more from every state and county in the nation. NAS released the much-anticipated ag census at nas.usda.gov. /AgCensus. Ag Census data spans millions of data points about America's farms and ranches and the people who operate them. The once every 5 year census of agriculture remains the only source of uniform, comprehensive, and impartial agricultural data down to the county level. Irrigation pumping on U.S. farmland accounts for approximately 16% of all greenhouse gas emissions from energy use in agriculture, forestry, and fisheries. Irrigation pumping on U.S. farmland accounts for approximately 16% of all greenhouse gas emissions from energy use in agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, according to new work led by Colorado State University researchers published in the journal Nature Communications. Data included on farm irrigation pumping information reported in the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Irrigation and Water Management Survey, fuel expenditure data, and county-level estimates of water demand by crop. Emissions impact vary greatly depending on several factors, according to the study. Notably, groundwater pumping contributed to 85% of all farm irrigation emissions, even though groundwater accounted for just under half of irrigation water use across the country. The rate of emissions for groundwater irrigation use was 5 times greater than for surface water, according to the study. What's more, the depth of the groundwater being withdrawn had a significant impact. The study's authors noted that emissions from groundwater utilization will increase as aquifer levels decline in areas where rates of extraction exceed rates of recharge. Grouped by state, Texas, Nebraska, and California produce the highest emissions, accounting for 46% of irrigator-related greenhouse gas emissions, even though those states contain roughly 39% of the cropland. States in the Northeast and Upper Midwest saw the lowest irrigation emissions totals. The Biden administration has restored rules to protect imperiled plants and animals that had been rolled back under former President Donald Trump. Among the changes announced, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will reinstate a decades-old regulation that mandates blanket protections for species newly classified as threatened. That means officials won't have to craft time-intensive plans to shield each individual species while protections are pending, as has been done recently with North American wolverines and alligator snapping turtles in the southeastern U.S. and spotted owls in California. The blanket protections regulation was dropped in 2019 as part of a suite of changes to the application of the species law under Trump that were encouraged by industry. Those changes came as extinctions accelerate globally due to habitat loss and other pressures. Officials also will not consider economic impacts when deciding if animals and plants need protection, and the rules from the Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service make it easier to designate areas as critical for species survival, even if it is no longer found in those locations. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has filed an administrative complaint against Aggregator Incorporated, doing business as Amor Organics, for alleged violations of the Perishable Agricultural Commodities Act. The company operating from California allegedly failed to make payment promptly to 7 produce sellers in the amount of $264,268 from October of 2022 through August of 2023. Aggregator Incorporated will have the opportunity to request a hearing. Should USDA find the company committed repeated and flagrant violations, it would be barred from the produce industry as a licensee for 3 years or 2 years with the posting of a USDA-approved surety bond. Furthermore, its principals could not be employed or affiliated with any PACA licensee for 2 years or 1 year with the posting of a USDA-approved surety bond. The University of California at Berkeley is under fire for allegedly banning white residents from using a community farm on Saturdays in a move one critic slammed as systemic racism. The university told the Post it is investigating claims that the Gill Tract Community Farm in nearby Albany offered its space on Saturday exclusively to Black, Indigenous, and people of color after a complaint with the U.S. Department of Agriculture by the Mountain States Legal Foundation. UC Berkeley thinks that racial segregation is progressive now, but it's no different than segregation of the past, according to William Trachman, general counsel for the group. Preventing Caucasians from accessing Berkeley's College of Natural Resources farm on Saturdays is a clear violation of Title VI, which bars education institutions from engaging in or allowing race discrimination, according to Trachman, a UC Berkeley alumni himself. He said the feds should open a sweeping audit of every UC Berkeley program to ferret out what he claimed was systemic racism. Launched in 2013, the farm is a partnership between UC Berkeley and its surrounding neighborhoods. Students and faculty conduct urban farming research and grow crops to prepare healthy meals as part of the food justice movement, according to the farm's website. The California Department of Food and Agriculture's Fertilizer Research and Education Program is announcing four vacancies on a Fertilizer Inspection Advisory Board's Technical Advisory Subcommittee. This subcommittee serves as an expert scientific panel on matters concerning efficient use of fertilizing materials in irrigation water. Members assist in setting research priorities for the FREP grant program and review and recommend research and outreach proposals for funding. FREP is funded through a mill assessment on the sale of fertilizing materials, and the program facilitates research, education, and demonstration projects to improve proper use of fertilizing materials and irrigation water in agriculture. The program serves researchers, growers, agricultural supply and service professionals, extension personnel, public agencies, consultants, and the public. Subcommittee applicants must demonstrate technical, applied, and scientific expertise in the fields of agronomy, soil science, plant science, irrigation, production agriculture, or environmental issues related to inefficient use of fertilizers and irrigation water in California. The term of office for subcommittee members is 3 years, beginning January 1st of 2025. Members receive no compensation but are entitled to reimbursement of necessary travel expenses in accordance with the rules of the California Department of Human Resources. Individuals interested in being considered for appointment should complete the prospective member application packet, which is available on the Fertilizer Inspection Advisory Board's website. You can also contact the California Department of Food and Agriculture for information. The application deadline is Wednesday, July 31st.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there. The United Kingdom's government announced it would suspend tariffs for at least 2 years on raw kernel and in-shell almonds from all origins, including the United States, beginning April 11th, 2024. The Almond Board of California has been working for many years with the UK's Nut and Dried Fruit Trade Association, the group that represents the UK processors buying California almonds. This past year, ABC provided factual information and trade data to the Nut and Dried Trade Fruit Association, which they used to officially apply to have tariffs suspended for imported almonds. Julie Adams, Almond Board's Vice President of Global and Technical Regulatory Affairs.
When the UK was part of the European Union, before they left with Brexit, they were subject to the same duty structure that you have in Europe. So basically, it was about, in Europe, it was 3.5% on kernels and around 5.6% on in-shell. So when the UK left the European Union, we hoped some of those tariffs would go away, and they adjusted them. So the duty was 2% on kernels and 4% on in-shell, but they were still in place. So what happened is that the UK has a procedure in place where you can apply for a duty suspension. And so we worked with an association in the UK to see if we could actually apply for a suspension for almonds.
A few other countries have this process in place for suspending tariffs, and Adams said Almond Board is looking at these other countries to try and replicate the UK tariff suspension.
Usually it's for products where there's not local production, it's not competing against domestic economy, maybe it's going to help with processing, other sectors, value addition. So we're looking at what the opportunities might be. And in fact, we did apply for another suspension in the Philippines. So we're waiting to hear about that one as well.
While this tariff suspension is good for the California almond industry, of course, it's also good for the British consumer.
By removing or suspending that tariff, that means the additional 2% on the value of the imports won't be applied. So importers can bring in almonds at a lower rate. And consumers hopefully will also benefit from that because the import price is lower. So that's how it basically works. Now, the tariff suspension isn't specific to the United States. So it would be almonds imported from any origin. But obviously, California is one of the largest suppliers to the export market, so we should see the majority of the benefit.
The tariffs previously in place were only for raw kernel and in-shell almonds. Additional tariffs still exist for value-added almond products like flour or paste, according to Adams, and the Almond Board will continue to work to suspend those as well. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom. By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456.
The outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza cases in dairy cattle has spread from 2 states to 5 states, with new cases confirmed in Michigan and more presumptive positive tests in Idaho and New Mexico, according to federal officials. USDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are reporting more cases of an illness among dairy cows that is causing decreased lactation, low appetite, and other symptoms. This follows reports on March 25th of highly pathogenic avian influenza in 2 dairy herds in Texas and 2 dairy herds in Kansas. State officials in Michigan and Idaho each stated that the affected dairies in their states had received the dairy cows from farms in Texas. That could change the dynamics of the outbreak, indicating cow-to-cow transmission could be possible. Farmers and livestock producers in a market for a new semi-truck could face a different market in 2027 under new greenhouse gas standards for heavy-duty vehicles finalized by the Biden administration. EPA announced new final national emission standards for heavy-duty vehicles model years 2027 through 2032. Officials stated the new rule would avoid 1 billion tons of greenhouse gas emissions while reducing air pollution for an estimated 72 million people. The Global Coalition of Fresh Produce has launched its second global survey into the cost of fruit and vegetable production and trading and the prices received by growers and intermediaries. The survey is a follow-up of the survey conducted by the Coalition in March of 2023, when producers and traders in a world over were facing unprecedented cost hikes. Now, the Coalition is repeating its survey to understand how the situation has evolved over the past year. The new data will support the development of global and national perspectives on the evolving impacts of production and trading costs in the following regions, and those include Canada, the USA, Europe, Africa, New Zealand, Australia, and South America. All industry actors are invited to complete the short survey to support the coalition's efforts to frame and understand the challenges the industry is experiencing today. For more information on the survey, log on to producecoalition.net. As American consumers' demand for organic food products has grown over time, so has available products, some of which originates from foreign markets. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Organic food products continue to grow in popularity with consumers. If recent USDA data on sale trends are any indication, despite year-over-year sales declining over the last 2 years of record, organic food retail sales from 2020 to 2022 are above levels prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. And more retail organic sales are taking place in traditional grocery and club stores and supermarkets. So what are consumers purchasing in the way of organic products? USDA research economist Sharon Skorbiansky at this year's Ag Outlook Forum said one way to look at it is what types of organic foods are being imported into our country.
The value fell for the highest value commodities, so that is blueberries, avocados, soybean, and coffee. But the value did increase for some other commodities like olive oil and bananas.
In fact, imports of organic goods have increased annually since 2015. Particularly in the area of tracked imports.
The value of tracked imports has been trending upward, and it increased in 2023 as well. But 60% of the value of these imports can be attributed to new harmonized tariff schedule codes, or HTS codes. It is a really important distinction between actual imports and tracked imports.
As the U.S. uses HTC codes to set tariff rates and statistical categories for imports.
There are now 125 HTS codes for organic, with 45 new codes added in 2023.
Products represented by new import codes range from organic dates and red lentils to maple syrup and tart cherry juice concentrate.
It doesn't mean that these products in organic form were imported prior to 2023. It's just that they were recorded under a more general HTS category. So we just have no means for comparison what that value was prior to 2023.
U.S. consumers continue to purchase fruits and vegetables, followed by eggs, then bread, among the top selections of organic products by category. And in case you are wondering what U.S. organic products are among the top exports to markets globally,
apples, lettuce, and spinach, these are the three most exported organic commodities.
With most of those purchased by Canada and Mexico. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA has expanded its Nursery Value Select crop insurance program to all counties in all states, and the USDA's Risk Management Agency is offering informational workshops for interested producers. These sessions will be valuable for producers in the newly expanded areas, and especially for the Nursery Field Grown and Container Crop Insurance Program, which ends beginning with the 2026 crop year. For more information, go to rma.usda.gov. U.S. employers report challenges in finding suitable job candidates with work-ready skills to fill open roles in the agri-food industry. AgCareers.com surveyed those employers to gain deeper insights into the skills they seek to identify the most significant skill gaps in the workforce. Employers ranked problem-solving and decision-making as the most necessary skills for all employees, followed by organization and planning skills and teamwork. Problem-solving and decision-making were also identified as areas with the most significant gap for both current employees and new graduate hires. Only 18% of U.S. employers said that new graduate hires were prepared with work-ready skills upon hire, where 76% said experienced new hires were equipped with those skills. Survey data also examined industry-specific skills required for employee success, such as sustainability, data science, and food science. Results indicate the biggest knowledge needs were in agronomy and precision agriculture and animal sciences.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.